It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Players Club.
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU as BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins Unrivaled.
Touchdown!
For an insider look at the Cougar football team, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone.
The best station.
Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on in. It is the Players Club right here. On 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network, thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, and current BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joining us on the horn. Jaren, you escaped Georgia, hopefully injury-free. How do you feel?
Good. Got a couple bumps and bruises, but that's how it goes.
How was it traveling that far across the country? And it's kind of an out-of-the-way place. I mean, I'm just curious, was it hard to fly into wherever you flew into and trying to get to the stadium, the hotel? How was all the travel for the game?
Yeah, it was fine. We actually went a day early. We went on Thursday just because of the East Coast time change. So that helped us out, kind of adjust to the clock, taking us forward a couple hours. And so it wasn't that bad to adjust. I mean, the plane ride was a lot further than any we've done all year. And then the hotel we stayed at was about an hour 15 away from the field. So we had a nice long bus ride before the game, which was kind of an adjustment. So. But I felt like we did a good job. I mean, the coaches did a good job of scheduling out the travel and kind of meetings around everything to kind of help us get ready for the game. So it was a little different, but we managed, made it work.
It was a different setup, too. I mean, it was like definitely the smallest stadium you guys have probably played in a long time any BYU players. But stadium was quite chock full of BYU fans, at least the tickets they could get their hands on. Will you please at least clear up some of the things? We've heard tale of burritos being thrown. Were you injured by a burrito, or did you even see the burritos getting thrown at you?
I was not, and I didn't. I guess it was thrown at Kalani, I think, in the end of the first half or something like that. So I don't think any players were hit, and I don't think he was hit, but it came right past him. I think it's how the story goes.
That's just a single burrito then. It wasn't like a burrito.
And it might have been a couple. Like I said, I don't know. I just know he talked about how he almost got hit by one. So.
Do you know if it was a vegetable burrito? Or what kind of burrito was it? We're trying to figure this out.
I hope not. I'm gonna waste your money on a vegetable burrito.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
See, now we're thinking along the same lines.
How was it coming off of a bye week and then playing and the long travel? What kind of impact do you think it had? Were you guys fresh? What's your assessment of coming out of the bye?
Yeah, I thought we did a good job of refocusing, you know, pretty quickly, especially offensively right from the get-go. So you might be picked right up where we left off. I think we just managed well last week. We had some really good practices. Then the coaches gave us a couple of days off to kind of get our bodies right. And then this last week leading up to the game, had really good practices. Practice again Friday, actually, when we got there, went to the high school field and kind of ran around to kind of cut up the time we had off to make sure our legs were fresh and we were feeling good. But I thought we did well coming off a bye week. You know, I think in that situation, it could easily be a trap for a lot of teams coming into a place like that. You know, a ranked opponent goes into a smaller stadium with home crowd advantage to their team. You know, you can easily lose one there. But I felt like we just kind of stuck to our guns and played pretty clean football.
Well, your guns are, and all year they've been, Tyler Allgeier out of the backfield. He ended up with 25 carries. I was glad to see him get a lot of touches in that second half. It takes a load off of you to be able to go, okay, good. Tyler's going to get the ball again, and he carried the ball for another 5.5, 6 yards per carry. So Talk a little bit about what that's like being able to say, this is our horse that we're going to hand this ball off to, and he can kind of take over a game if he's moving the ball.
It really changes the dynamics of an offense. It takes you from a good offense to a great offense, you know, with have a guy like Tyler back there running the ball. And then you have Peeney filling in as well, getting a lot of reps and helping us score a touchdown there as well. They both run super hard, but I mean, Tyler, 25 carries, it's not easy to do. And he does it, you know, night in and night out. Mm-hmm. So he's always carrying our team and making the difference there. So at this point, it's kind of like what you expect from him. But at the same time, you realize the game of football is hard, and what he does is absolutely incredible. So, I mean, he puts his body out there every night, and he just gives it everything he has for this team.
You always learn something from each game. I'm curious what you took out of this game, what you learned, what you can use to help yourself in the future.
Yeah, just the importance of taking care of the ball, the turnover margin. In a game like that, again, referencing, you know, the home field advantage they had, it could be easily a trap game. They played they're much better than their record was, you know. So I think if we kind of accompany a little bit of the slouch you went through in the middle of the game on offense with a couple turnovers, I mean, that game could have got really interesting real fast. But we did what we've done well all year. We took care of the ball, and that's why we're able to, you know, walk away with a comfortable win. And so for us, we talked about it again today, is just the importance of taking care of the ball, winning the turnover margin. And that's really the biggest thing that we took away from that game.
You threw the ball less than 30 times. You completed 17 out of 29 passes, and yet you still went over the 300-yard mark. Those were chunk plays to your big play receivers. It seemed like, you know, Keanu Hill getting in on the action with a couple of catches, but for almost 70 yards. Samson and Puka both had big, big plays. Same thing with Gunner. Big chunk plays, and that plays to you guys' strength, especially to try to kind of take away another team's ability to slow you guys down at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, you see that a lot when you have a running back, again, like Tyler and like Peeney back there with our offensive line getting as much push as they do. Teams have a choice they got to make. It's either we're going to stop the run and sell out on that end, which most teams have been doing recently, but then it kind of leaves them exposed over the top with our playmakers outside. And so it makes the defense have to think of which one are they going to give up. And, you know, recently they've been playing the run. And then with that, you know, we can open up the pass and go down the field. And then once they start respecting the pass, then we get Tyler involved again. So it's just a matter of realizing what the defense is doing. And A-Rod does a great job of taking advantage of that.
Is there any challenge, or did you guys have any kind of challenge this week with an opponent that you're heavily favored against? And did you feel pressure to kind of score a lot of points against them and have maybe a sexy win, or, you know, a statement kind of win? Did you ever feel that at any time during the game or leading up to the game?
No, I don't think there was ever any pressure or kind of nerves about that. I think it was more just some urgency amongst the offense. You know, the last 2 weeks, you know, including the bye week, we were able to talk about, you know, how we're finally getting in the groove, and we're just excited to get out there and keep going. So that was kind of the message we relayed amongst ourselves, and we got from the coaches is, you know, we're finally finding our groove. Let's not let the bye week slow us down. Let's keep on going. I thought we did a good job getting off to a quick start, beginning of the game, and then again at halftime. So some of those things are still there. Obviously, you know, we got to clean some things up again. But, no, I thought we did well. Just staying composed, playing with urgency, having energy, because, you know, we could have very well easily, you know, lost that urgency and been a little pressed to think about the situation going in there, being ranked, and so on and so forth. But I thought we were very mature about it and just took care of our business.
What helps you get in a groove? Is it, do you like to throw the ball early, get a pass, you know, first, second play of the game? Do you like to get hit, or do you like to, you know,
I don't like getting hit.
You don't like it? You don't, it's just kind of, some guys like to just get hit, just get that hit out of the way.
Yeah, I love to complete a pass early for sure. You just throw a pass, just get a feel for how the ball is coming off your hand. But honestly, for us, we haven't really had any tendencies, whether we throw the ball early, run the ball, we've kind of mixed it up. But as a quarterback for me, for sure, you know, once I get that first ball thrown out of my hand, I usually get a feel for things, feel for how the defense is moving, how quick they're playing, and just a feel for the game. So the sooner you get a ball out of your hand thrown, for sure, the better. But, I mean, again, a guy like Tyler, it's tempting just to hand it off, you know, every play to start out the game. So you can kind of do whatever in that regard.
You guys have won 20 games in the last two seasons, which is quite a remarkable accomplishment. Go 11 last year. You have the opportunity to win 11 again this year. What has been just, again, I mean, you guys are 11 games into the season. I can't believe we're already almost to the end of it. But what is it that you guys have talked about as a team? And what's the thing that you will remember, I guess, with this season?
The thing that constantly always comes up with our different wins is just how versatile of a team we are in regards to how we're able to win so many different games. You know, we can win games 19 to 21. We can win games 66 to 49. Or we can win games 34 to 17, you know, whatever it is. And then you grind games out like at the beginning of the year against Utah and Arizona State against really good defenses and good offenses. I mean, we've just won so many different games. There's never – it hasn't really been a consistent stretch of how games turn out, you know what I mean? So just being able to stay locked in all four quarters, I think, is what it speaks to, just our focus from the first snap to the last snap. And that speaks to the way the coaches prepare us and the type of dudes we have on our team.
Going into this week, you go to USC. What's kind of been the early vibe or early message from your coach about what this week looked like?
Yeah, don't give in to what the media says about what their record is or how many games they've won and lost. This is one of the most talented teams in college football, and they always have been historically. It's no different this year. So watching tape, every guy you see on the field looks like a dude out there that could be very well playing at the next level. And so for us, it's a matter of recognizing that, but also realizing we're a good team as well. So as long as we prepare to play against the best USC team, you know, if that's our focus, then we'll be okay, you know, but we got to go out and execute and just keep our edge.
What about on a week like this where, you know, it feels a little bit different? There's kind of the holiday vibe to it. So how do you guys make sure, and how do the coaches make sure you guys stay dialed in before you have to head out of town down to LA?
I mean, all they can do is really tell us to stay focused. Other than that, it's up to us. So I think as a team, just emphasizing to each other the importance of being professional about it. What's at risk for us right now? You know, what potentially could happen, good or bad, after this week. You know, we don't ever like looking to the future. But in that regard, you know, those games are important for us. And it's the last game of the season. You know, it's the one we'll remember from the regular season as we go into the offseason. So playing the Coliseum, all the history there, it's just a big game. And I think that alone has a lot of guys amped up and excited. But just realizing, you know, it's football is always around the holidays, but you can make that, you know, to your advantage. Enjoy some good food with your family, but then, you know, realize we got a big game to go win. And if we can win this game, it'll feel even better, you know, thinking about the holiday season. So just being professional about it, I think, is how we approach that.
Did you guys, I mean, be honest here, did you look at this team and say, we could win double-digit wins against this again this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the goal, right? Again, you know, out and about, we don't ever talk. We'd like to talk about all those things. But as you get closer to the end of the year and the last game, for sure, when we realize – how big of an accomplishment that is in college football in today's age, how good teams are. So it's just extra motivation for us.
Got the 14th ranking that goes up to 13, and the college football rankings that come out this week, all that. Do you listen to any of that? Or I mean, because it does matter in terms of, you know, if there is a possibility of an even bigger bowl game, and that's something that you guys don't have control over, but – is that something you think about, like, man, it would be nice to get in that number 12, number 11 slot before the end of the season, maybe put ourselves in that position?
I mean, yeah. But honestly, as a team, I think we're pretty mature about not talking about it too often and realizing that, you know, no matter how close we are or what could happen, we got to spend all of our time focused on this game because that'll take care of itself. You know what I mean? So I'm sure, you know, every now and then you'll come across it and you might mention it, but I think just as a general feel, you know, we just try to keep ourselves focused on the next game and you know, letting whoever decides those things decide that based off of how we play.
Jaren Hall, Players Club, got more to go here on the program with him kind of getting a little bit more into getting ready for USC. I'm, you know, in years past, that final game of the season's been hit and miss for BYU. I'm really glad they're taking on USC. It's a bummer that USC's not as good of a team as they've been in the past to kind of get that that feel for this team. But you know, look, this is one of the blue chip programs, Scott. And you know, if you can show out against a USC team, even in a year that they're struggling, you know, we're looking at the bowl projections today, and most of the bowl projections have USC going to a bowl, which they would have to win their last two games to be able to be bowl eligible, right? The Pac-12 doesn't allow any losing,
no,
you know, records to get in, and they'd have to get to 6-6 to be there, and that means they'd have to win against BYU, and they'd have to win against Cal in that extra game on the 4th. And so, That's kind of nice for them. They're playing the same weekend. They go, we want to be playing that first weekend in December at the end of the year. They thought it was going to be a Pac-12 championship game. It's just a replay game against
Cal.
Well,
you know, it's good, like you know, vision board, you know, like you, for future, you know.
This first weekend in December.
We want to be playing in the first week of December. I can see that. Yeah.
I just don't, you know, I'm not sure what this game's going to be. It's a weird one because USC's still going to have insane athletes. And they're still going to have guys playing at the Coliseum, you know, for one of their last times ever. And you're still going to – yeah, they don't have Drake London. Jackson Dart is going to be like, this team recruited me, and they're from my home state. All these guys know who I am. I got to show up and try to play this thing.
Here's what I think happens in games like this, typically. And it's not always, but maybe most of the time. If you give a team a reason to stay around that's ready to have the season end, like USC, they'll stay around.
If you give USC a cookie, they're going to want to get the milk later.
That's right. And if you kind of crush their will early, they're pretty much toast.
That's it. I feel like these are – you're kind of formulating some of your keys for the Utah-Colorado game.
Of course I am. Yeah. And that is a key. Yeah, it's you really got to – you got to break their will early. You got to give them no reason – to have any hope that they
well, that's
they
why can, that Georgia Southern game was a slow start, I think, for BYU too. Is they go, these guys were juiced up. They're playing the number 14 team at their house, right? And for the last time for these seniors, you know, down there, and they gave them just a tiny window, and they jumped through it, you know. And so I think that's exactly right. BYU's got to score a lot of
points. So if you're a mature team and a team that just you know you just. As they say, respect the process and that you go through your same routines every week and you get yourself dialed in and ready to play, it doesn't matter. And good teams will do that. Good teams will just take care of their business week in and week out. And I think for BYU, I think they're a team that's understood that. And they certainly understood it a year ago, and they've shown that this past season where they've really won other than the Boise State game, you know, the games they were supposed to win. And then some. And so I expect BYU to take care of its own business on Saturday.
I'm going to roll out some of the numbers. Jaren Hall's had a nice season. This guy hadn't played in a couple games, didn't play in a couple games this year, but goes, he's 64% completion on the season, 169 for 264, 64% completion rating, or 2,300 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 3 picks. Yeah, he's just been extremely efficient. He's
Hall,
gotten better through the year.
Jaren Hall is a kid that's probably primed to really have a great season next year. You're not going to have Algier. You're going to be more heavy on throwing.
He kind of hinted that he didn't know what he's going to do in the offseason. I think it'd be dumb to leave early.
Who, Algier?
No, Hall.
Oh, Jaren. No, Jaren.
He's got to stay.
No, Jaren. Jaren's career would pretty much be over if he left right now. I don't know that he'd get a real opportunity.
It's not that it'd be, you know.
It's not that he can't. It's not that he, you know, he just needs another year. And he could really have a good, a good turn at it if he has another year. And I'm sure people will talk to him about it because he's just primed next year to play really well. Aaron Roderick stays as the coordinator. You have all those receivers back. You'll get the tight ends more involved. They'll be throwing the ball a lot more next year. And Jaren will probably be more comfortable doing that next year as
His
well.
His quarterback rating, he's 11th in the country in quarterback rating.
Yeah.
I mean, and what the quarterback rating is, what it really tells you the most is that he's efficient. I mean, he's completing a lot of his passes, and he's not throwing a bunch of interceptions. He hasn't thrown an interception in six games. He's thrown 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions the past 5 games. He's had a very efficient year.
He comes back to that all the time. I said, what did you learn this week? What new thing did you learn?
I took care of the football.
You just got to take care of the football.
Take care of the football.
I just reinforced
that's
in my
a,
brain.
That's not
take,
a bad one to
– No, it's you know, I guess I want more detail. I want something more interesting than just taking care of the football.
You should tell him that next week.
Was there a coverage or was there a situation or was there something that you just go, oh, wow, okay, that kind of sunk in my head this week and it was a little different.
I'm really interested. We're gonna get out and we're gonna hear some more of Jaren's discussion about getting ready for USC. We bring up Jackson Dart, and so you want to hear that. More to go right here on Unrivaled. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, the Zone Sports Network. Stay right here with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.